I want to forgive like Jesus, love like Jesus. I want to be good like Jesus, go about doing good like it says in Acts 10:38, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. I want to do that. But the question really is, church, the 21st century church, listen to me now, we want to do what Jesus did, but do we want to be treated the way Jesus was treated?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, good day and welcome to the broadcast. We're delighted you've tuned in for Pastor Bill's continuing study in the Epistle of 1 Peter. The message today is titled, Armed with Attitude. Now, Pastor.
I remember many, many years ago, Pastor Chuck. You know, Pastor Chuck was a master storyteller, you know what I'm saying? And I remember, and I've never forgotten it, and he was telling a story about a young man, actually a little boy living on a farm, and outside of the farmhouse was a huge pond, kind of a lake. And when winter came, there was nothing for the little boy to do, so what he did, he stayed indoors and he carefully started building a little sailboat. And he meticulously carved out the wood and put the mast in and made it and painted it and got it all ready. And then finally spring happened. And so he wanted to take that sailboat and put it out there on that lake and shove it off. And so he walks out there and he puts it on the water. It floats perfectly. And then he pushes it. And it starts sailing across that lake, just absolutely beautiful. It was perfect. And then a huge gust of wind comes and blows that boat over, and it goes to the bottom of the lake. That little boy looked at his boat, all that hard work. He stood up, put his finger in his mouth, you know, lifted it high up, trying to figure out which way the wind is blowing, and said, "What a great day to fly a kite." This morning, if you have ears to hear, this is a moment that you need to hear, because we're going to talk about from the text. We have these Jewish believers scattered across the Roman Empire, the five provinces. They're living in hostile territory. Man, they are going through it. And now, in the beginning, remember, it started out in chapter 1, verse 7. It started out with just various trials, okay, that were trying their faith. They were grieved by them. But when we get to the verse 12, which we're not going to cover today of chapter 4, we're going to find out that the various trials that were grieving them has now turned into fiery trials. They're suffering. Nero is out. He's persecuting Christians. And so, man, before us in these 11 verses, again, and I don't want to go long, and I hate to condense them, but we have to keep them in context to understand how powerful they really are. So with all that being said, here they are suffering, remember. Not suffering because they've sinned, but because they're doing good. They're living for the faith. They're living in hostile territory, and they're being persecuted. Now, this morning, remember the little boy that the boat sank, and he said, "Let's fly a kite." Amen? What do you call that? That's called attitude, isn't it? Now, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The title of the sermon is Armed with Attitude. Say that with me. Armed with Attitude. Now, attitude defined literally means this: a settled, firm, unchangeable way of thinking. The attitude, the Christian's attitude, not the world's, but our attitude. You know, the Bible tells us in Philippians 1:27, only let your conduct, that word means citizenship. We're citizens of heaven. Citizens of heaven have a certain conduct, amen? And they act a certain way with a certain attitude that is unchangeable or should be. So let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come, Paul says, to see you or absent, I will hear of your affairs, that you stand fast. That means all of us standing fast, never standing alone, but standing fast. In one spirit, that means to advance in the power of another, the Holy Spirit of God, standing fast in one spirit and with one mind, are all of us to have one mind, meaning one attitude, okay? And it says, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in not any way be terrified by your adversaries. Meaning, not for a moment. Don't you be intimidated. Don't you be afraid of anyone. Even there, it tells us in Peter that we should not be. In chapter 3, let me just read it. I remember that. It says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, don't be afraid of their threats, and don't you be troubled by them. Amen? Now listen, loved one, what is your attitude this morning about fear? What is it? Boy, that's a big word. Has God given us a spirit of fear? No, not at all. Listen to me. Everything that you want in life as a Christian is sitting on the other side of fear. Did you know that? Remember, they left Egypt. Did they enter the promised land, the first generation? No, and they didn't enter into the promise of God for one reason, unbelief, meaning they didn't believe. They saw themselves as grasshoppers, if you will, and everybody else was a giant. Now listen carefully. Peter is about to tell the Jewish Christians, the readers of this incredible epistle, and every generation, whether you're living in good times, bad times, whatever it is, suffering persecution, he says we are to arm ourselves with only one attitude, okay? One particular attitude, meaning the same attitude beginning this morning in verse 1. Therefore, and that goes back to verse 18 that I read previously in chapter 3. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same what? Same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So that is a command, Christian. It's an imperative in the Greek. It's not an option. So the readers then and every Christian in every generation, they are to do something. Believers are to arm, A-R-M, that's only used there, right there in the New Testament, found no place else. Arm yourselves, and it's urgent. In the Greek, it's urgent, it's immediate, meaning you got to do it right this minute. It is a call to action. The word arm in Greek is a military term. It means to immediately go and put on the heaviest armor available for battle. That's a good, good word. Now, what are we to arm ourselves with? It says that we are to arm ourselves, they, us, with the same mind. The word mind there, I'm going to try to say it in Greek, is ennoia. It's only used there in 1 Peter and one other place, and that's Hebrews 4:12, I believe. But it literally means the same mind, literally means the same thinking, or the best word, I believe the translation should be, with the same attitude. Now, the Christian, we know we are commanded right now to have only one mind and one attitude. Amen? And that's Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or you could even, as some most versions say, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, the writer of Hebrews, who I believe to be Paul, he told us something in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. He told us what to do in life, how to run the race. He said, looking unto Jesus, meaning fixing your gaze. Don't look at anything else. You're running a race called life. You're running home to the kingdom in heaven. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, the originator, the perfecter of your faith. And he goes on and he says, who for the joy that was set before him, the joy that was set before Jesus. Jesus knew what was set before him when he went to the cross. Amen? He wasn't talking about the beatings. He wasn't talking about the lictor's lash that sliced his back up, that joy set before him. No, the joy set before him was you and every generation that would come to him. Amen? Yes. So the joy that was set before him, what did Jesus do? He endured the cross. He endured the most shameful way of dying then. The cross was reserved for the lowest of criminals. He says, who endured the cross, despising the shame. Despising, meaning he did not shirk. He did not shrink from the Father's will. He willingly, of his own volition, went to the cross for all of us. Amen? It says, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has, not will, but has sat down at the right hand of God. Now listen to what it says now. For consider him. That word means to think deeply. It means to pause and stop, go through the entire Bible, find out everything you can about our Lord. It says, consider him. Look at his life. Literally, consider him. Study his attitude. Say that word, attitude. Very important this morning. It says, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Is that what the Jewish believers are going through in our text? The same thing. It says, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. So consider Jesus. Arm yourselves with Jesus's attitude. And that's a tremendous truth. Loved one, listen, in suffering, in trials, in persecution, good times, bad times, in life in general, Peter said this, let your attitude, okay, your thoughts, what you think, your attitude become weapons in your life. Have you ever thought that your attitude is a weapon? I mean, come on. You ever heard somebody say, you have a bad attitude, man? We're commanded that our attitude, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by God's grace, be the same as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lives in us and died for us. Amen. So wrong attitude and suffering and persecution when you're going through it means defeat. Right attitude means victory. Amen. Okay, now, the Christian life, loved one, the Christian life is not a playground. A lot of people think it's a playground today. It's not a playground. The Christian life is a battleground, and you need to arm yourselves right now, if you haven't already, with that kind of attitude. You'll hear it all the time. I just want to be like Jesus. Do you want to be like Jesus? I want to be like Jesus. I want to forgive like Jesus, love like Jesus. I want to be good like Jesus, go about doing good like it says in Acts 10:38, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. I want to do that. But the question really is, church, the 21st century church, listen to me now, we want to do what Jesus did, but do we want to be treated the way Jesus was treated? Come on. Do we want to be insulted? Do we want to be spit upon? Do you want your beard plucked out? I'm not talking about women, men, you know what I'm saying? Do you want that? Lord, I got in trouble nearly. Oh, no, listen. No, you have to arm yourselves about persecution and suffering. I know we're doing okay so far in our nation, but most of the world isn't if you're a believer. Now, this is very important. See, we have to know that the world we live in, does the world we live in really like us? They don't even really tolerate us much today. Let me give you a few scriptures. 1 John 3:13. He says, do not marvel or don't be surprised, my brethren, if the world hates you. Hello? Don't be surprised. Why are you shocked? He doesn't like me. We shouldn't. Well, that's, your attitude should be, I know it. I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised. But if you're going to be hated for the right reasons, for Jesus' sake, not for you. That's why it says in Luke 21:17, Jesus said, and you'll be hated by all for my name's sake. John 15:20, Jesus said, remember what I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:12, yes, all who desire to live godly in this life will suffer persecution. Amen. Jesus even gave us a promise. John 16:33, he said, these things I've spoken to you, that you may have peace in the world. You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer is an attitude, isn't it? Absolutely. Now, look at verse 4, 1 again. It says, for he who suffered in the flesh has what? Ceased from sin. I've suffered a lot in my flesh, but I still get in trouble. Huh? So what does this mean here? It means you've been released from sin. But before I get into that, we're talking about suffering for Jesus' sake. Do you know what suffering, persecution, all that, when you go through it, really does? It weans us from the world. You know, Pastor Thomas said something, I think it was Wednesday night. He said, when we have a problem today, our immediate tendency is to go to Google and ask a question and look it up, isn't it? Maybe not the Word of God. You see, if we go to the world for help, the world's not going to help those who are not of this world. They're going to persecute you. They don't like you. There's two opposing spirits. There's the fallen nature and one who's not fallen. Amen? And they just don't get along together. And so it says, he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. What does that mean? Again, if you're not sinning, you're out at Greenwood Cemetery, okay? Meaning you're home in heaven. So ceased from sin means this. We don't practice an habitual lifestyle of sin because we're not the same person. We're born again. Amen. We have a brand new nature living in us, and that brand new nature is the divine nature of the living God who's giving us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So, but more than that, because we're born again and the Spirit of the Lord lives in us, we have a brand new law, the law of life of the Spirit, Romans 8, 1 and 2, living in us right now, the life of the Spirit, the law of the life of the Spirit living in us. In other words, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We've been changed. Our old man, we render him or reckon him dead. We say, you're dead. You're not running my life anymore because now I have power where the old Billy doesn't run my life anymore, if you will. So listen, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life, Romans 8, 2, in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Yes, the law of sin and death is still present with me, but I have a brand new law inside of me, and that is the law of the Spirit of life. Perfect example. Let's bring it up to the natural realm here. You know, I can't see without my glasses. So, okay, all of a sudden I can't see, so what do I do? Well, I go to the doctor, he gives me a prescription, I put on those glasses, and I overcome the old law. And that's what it means there. We have a brand new law. And you know what? Picking up my glasses, I can see. And if you're not being led by the Spirit, you can't see anything. It's so important. Now, our suffering, very important, our suffering does not prevent you from sinning. Did you know that? No, it doesn't. But Jesus's does. Yeah, our Lord's does. It says in Romans 6:3, do you not know how many of us were baptized or immersed into Christ Jesus, meaning our identification, we're made one, okay? It says we're baptized or immersed into his death. That is our union. He's not talking about baptism here, but he's using that analogy. Our union, our identification, man, we are in Christ Jesus, our Lord, because we have been immersed in his death, his resurrection, his ascension, all of it, amen? Okay, now, the word baptism, very important word. In Greek, it's baptizo. Let me define that. Baptizo means you have been placed into a new environment or into a union with something else so as to alter its condition or its relationship from the previous environment or condition. Now, let me read to you an example from my Greek Bible, okay? Here it comes. Now, not to be confused with babto, in the Greek. The clearest example that shows the meaning of baptizo is a text from the Greek poet and physician Nicander, who lived about 200 BC. It's a recipe for making pickles, and it's helpful because it uses both words. Nicander says in the Greek there, in order to make a pickle, the vegetables should be first dipped or bapto into boiling water, and then baptizo or baptized into the vinegar solution. Both verbs concern the immersing of vegetables into a solution. But the first is temporary. The second act of baptizing the vegetable produces a permanent change. So what does it produce? Does anyone know? A what? A pickle. Aren't you glad you came to church? That's very important. You know why? Because it means your position in Christ Jesus, your relationship now to sin, we're talking about that you've ceased from sinning, but meaning what that really means. It means your relationship to sin has permanently changed. How? Because your condition has permanently changed. Amen? You're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. You're no longer in Adam. You are in Christ. You're no longer in darkness. You're in light. Amen? You're no longer a sinner. You are a saint. Okay, now listen. It means this. You have been permanently, baptizo, immersed into Christ. Your condition has been completely and permanently altered. You are no longer a cucumber. You are a pickle, a dill pickle, brother. Amen? Now, let me give you the scripture, Romans 6:18. And having been set free, liberated, sin's no longer your master. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now, since you are no longer a cucumber, look at verse 2, that he who no longer should live the rest of his time, the remainder of your earthly life, in the flesh, our former life in Adam, okay, for the lust of men, but who do we live for? But for the will of God. Why? Well, we spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. When? Well, when we walked, thank God not anymore, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries, those are all works of the flesh. Amen? Now, arm yourselves, it says, with this attitude. I'm going to arm myself with the will of God, not the will of the Gentiles, meaning the unsaved world, the way that their attitude, that they think. The Bible tells us clearly in Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? Now, so we don't live like that. Now, we may get into trouble, but we get out of the big pen. Amen? And we come back. Ephesians 5, 15. See then that you walk circumspectly or carefully with exactness, not as fools, but the wise, meaning not fools, meaning fallen humanity. It says, because the days are evil, not the months, not the years. You live, it says, in the evil days. Therefore, do not be unwise. Understand, though, what the will of God is. 1 Peter 2:15 says, this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now listen, all of us, life is short. Amen? Someone put it this way, the clock of life is wound but once. Don't just count your days, but make your days count. Boy, that's a good word. That's an attitude. Loved one, listen, we have already learned back in, what was it, 1 Peter 1:18, 19, that we have been redeemed from a life of emptiness, amen? A life of not having any purpose by the blood of Jesus. Also in Galatians 1:4, it tells us that we have been rescued or delivered from this present evil age. Now, it says to arm yourself then. Here's the attitude to have right now in your life. Arm yourself right now with your present purpose, not your wasted past. The past is behind us, amen? It's over with. We're living for right now. Our past is severed, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, new creation, old things have passed away, all things have become new. Now, verse 4, in regard to these, meaning the sins in verse 3 and those that are unsaved, in regard to these, they think it's strange. They're astonished. They're surprised, in other words, that you, the newborn Christian, that you no longer run with them in the same flood or excess of dissipation, that while living. But look what they do. They speaking evil of you. They slander you. They verbally abuse you. Now listen, this is very important because, you know, does it hurt you when your old buddies, they cut you down because now you're a Christian? It does hurt, doesn't it? Let's put it another way. Here you are, now you're in a family. You love your mama, you love your daddy, you love your sisters, your brothers, whatever, but they're not saved. But they're good people and they love you and you love them and you get saved and all of a sudden, is there a schism? Does that hurt you? Now, are you a goody two-shoes, huh? Bible thumper? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that hurts. So what is Peter saying right here? He's telling all of us, you have to be, all of you, armed with the same attitude toward the unsaved, toward those who are lost in this life. Verse 4 through 6, that's what it's all about here. So it's the natural man. He can't understand you, nor can he understand God. He can't understand the Word of God. He is natural man. He doesn't understand spiritual things, okay? Now, and so they look at you and they go, well, why have you changed? I've known you all of my life. Man, look at the things we used to do together and party together. And I mean, we know each other's secrets. We know everything, you know. And you're just different. They think you're strange. You don't get high on pot anymore. You get high on going to church. What's that mean? You get high reading your Bible. You get high loving the Lord. Amen? We don't understand it. We think it's strange, you know. And when you start telling them what God has done for you, you know what they do? They go, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Do they do that? Oh, wonderful. You mean you got back together with that wicked old wife of yours? Praise the Lord. And do they do that? No. They start cutting you down. Well, look at what it says. Look at it. They start speaking evil of you. Your old friends are now your persecutors. Spurgeon put it this way. How strange this world is. It speaks evil of men because they will not do evil. What a word is that?
Pastor Bill will conclude today's message on our Monday program. and we look forward to seeing you once again. Thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. We appreciate you so much. May the Lord bless you with a great weekend, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.